This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Military time, 1,400 hours.
Several texts came in about that because I was like, I don't get it. And they were like, you're so stupid. Just subtract 12. I was like, oh. And then somebody goes, it's super easy, bro. Just drop the first number, then subtract 2 from the second number. I'm like, whoa, that's multiple steps to tell time. You know how I normally tell time? I look at the clock and go, oh, it's 10:38. I don't have to do math. I just look. So then the whole subtract 2. Okay, right now it's 14:03. Yeah, it works. You drop the 1, subtract 2 from the 4, it's 2:03. But what about when it's 23? That's not 1 o'clock, is it? No, it's not. That doesn't work. Dropping the first number and all that. I don't know. It's too complicated. I'm not smart enough for military time. How about that? Are we happy?
Yeah.
That I admit? No, why do you?
I'm happy because it's got you a little bit fired up.
Everyone's a critic.
Boy, you got that right.
Everyone's a critic. Trey, real quick, Trey hit us up and said that rumors are spreading on social media. Because, Nick, you said you could just take, like, Tamiflu and stuff for the coronavirus, right?
Yeah, it's a very common medication that is being used to treat it.
Mm-hmm. CBS says rumors are spreading, thanks to Trey, we know this, rumors are spreading on social media that snorting cocaine and drinking bleach can cure coronavirus. And public service announcement, they can't. Although, if you're dumb enough... If you're stupid enough to believe that and drink bleach, well, that's just like thinning the herd, really. That's just Darwin.
That's just dumb.
Darwinism at work. That's just...
Ooh, just the thought of that.
Who's doing that? Who's dumb enough to be like, well, I guess I got to go get some cocaine and some bleach?
I don't know. I was shocked to see that tweet by Trey, but CBS News had it, and it's the blue check.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, and you know people what? There is so many misconceptions out there right now because there's a lot of people downplaying all of this, saying, you know what, just go about your daily business unless you're...
Yeah.
You know, but again, like I told you, then there's 18 different instructional manuals on video on how to wash your hands.
Which is also ridiculous.
And like you were saying, then, and I don't know if you guys saw this or not, because there is obviously a shortage of the Clorox wipes and the sanitizer on Amazon right now. A thing of Purell that was retailing for $4.50 is being sold for $80 a bottle.
Now, I did see where Amazon was proactively removing stuff like that for price gouging.
They should.
They've removed over 1 million items that were the price increased because of coronavirus. So good for Amazon for doing that. And shame on people that are trying to, you know.
It's ridiculous. And we saw this with the natural disasters that we went through with the hurricanes and everything else. Yeah. But, you know, this
that
is nationwide. This isn't
a natural disaster.
Yeah, that was just Glade. But or Febreze. But you know what? This is one of those things where it's not just Houston. The whole nation is worried about this. So, you know, the companies can't produce the products fast enough either.
Yeah.
Because these Clorox wipes, like I told you guys, I went to HEB this weekend. And they had just gotten distilled water and regular bottled water back in and said limit 4. But in terms of any of the wipes, people went to the regular ones. When they were gone, they thought the baby wipes would be adequate. They cleared those out, even if they didn't have kids. The shelves are bare of all that stuff.
It's just crazy. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. They're like, well, what are you going to do if they tell you to quarantine in place for 2 weeks? Bitch, I'm going to play video games and order pizza. What are you talking about? What am I going to do? I'm not worried about it. I have a faucet. I have alcohol. I have, and not even to clean with, just a drink. I have plenty of Crown. I have plenty of beer. What are you talking about?
Now, where are you guys on this? Because what I don't like, too, is from the guy here locally whose church pastor had it, did a service.
Oh,
when
no.
He called to find out, hey, did he do the service before me? You know, how much information? They're like, we're not answering any questions. Or to the schools in which a student or someone that works at the school And they won't give the parents, are we the school? They won't say. They won't, HISD won't announce which school it was, where on campus it was. You can't let people play a guessing game when it's something that people are so freaked out about already.
Yeah, but if you're not 100% sure, you can't come out and say it either. Because you don't want to cause
whether
mass hysteria
or not,
and be wrong.
You have to say, that, like in this case with the church and with the person at a school, the fact of the matter is they've tested positive for it. But the governing body in this case, either the Catholic Church or the HISD system, doesn't want to give up the information as to specifics. I think that's
well,
bad.
Well, but it's involving a specific person? Well, HIPAA requirements won't allow you to give out medical information.
No, not to tell who the person was. Just let the parents know, this happened at our school. We need to be on high alert.
Oh. Now, that I agree, but as long as you're not singling anybody out. But you can't give out somebody's medical information.
No, I don't want their name and everything like that, but I want to know, like, even from his own personal well-being, he self-quarantined himself, the guy at the church, was asking questions like, did the pastor also do the service before me? What, you know, how many people did he touch? How many people, was the choir still there for both services? Things so that he can understand how many different interactions did he have with potential coronavirus? Mm. Yeah. I think you got to be more upfront about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see because when it's to me, the scary part is you don't know you have it until, you know, I think it's 24 days is the time it takes for symptoms to show up or something like that. I could be wrong. But whatever that time frame is, think about how many people you're going to come in contact with. Think about how many people, like if you just went to the rodeo and rode a, you know, like, It is kind of scary, but at the same time, I realize that the mortality rate is 3% or so, which is very high versus the flu. But the chances of you getting it are pretty slim, I think, at this point. Now, it's obviously getting worse, and they're being very cautious. But, yeah, you just don't – to me, as a person – I don't know who or what to believe at this point. I'm just going with what my wife says because she's a nurse. I'm like,
I just think
she's getting info. She's going to know. But
I think the main thing is just common sense and wash your hands a little bit more.
Oh,
you know,
now that
you can't get the
about.
Hand sanitizer, but you know, or if it is hard to get, then make sure you're just washing your hands a little bit more. A little, if you do come in contact with, you know, a shopping mall rail, a grocery store cart, you know, at the gym or whatever it is, make sure that you're doing your due diligence from that perspective. And then, you know, rest assured that, you know, hopefully your immune system and the fact that you've been, you know, we're still young enough that, you know, you can get through this. But it's just even the symptoms, they're just like the flu, except for you might have a little bit more shortage of breath. There may be a few other, you know, a fever.
Yeah.
But it's the problem you do also have is people that aren't doing the self-awareness thing enough to go, I need to self-quarantine. I need to get checked out.
Yeah. Somebody said, can we just stop talking about this BS? It has to be a hoax like Trump said. All right, you're part of the problem, dummy.
Did you see Trump's tweet, by the way?
The virus isn't a hoax. It's not a hoax. I really hope you were being sarcastic. If not, throw your phone in the nearest bayou.
Trump did, he used the term hoax, but that was more towards the Democrats.
Throw your phone in the bayou.
Did you see his tweet, by the way, though?
Uh-uh.
Let's just relax on all this. He basically said, because there's 2,700 deaths a year to the flu. And the coronavirus only has 561 to this point.
No way.
Yeah, I think that was yesterday. They had it on the news. I'm like, that's
oh
not
my
healthy.
God, that's not good at all.
Wow. You know what can help you? Fitz Roofing. If you're looking for a new roof on your house, or maybe you got a leaky roof and need to fix it, I can tell you there's only one place to go in the Houston area, and that's Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com. You can check them out online. Better yet, call them 832-521-3001. You call them, and you're going to get a free, no-obligation inspection today. They're going to come to your house. They're going to tell you what they can do. They're going to go about their daily way. You want them to come back, you call them. They do great work before, during, and after the sale. They have the best ratings in the business. That'll back them up. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. Why would you go anywhere else? You go to Fitz, they take care of you. It's just the way they do business. And they use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles. So much so, they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get this status. You need it. They got it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties are longer than your average roofer. They're going to take care of you every step of the way. FITZRoofing.com or call for that free no-obligation inspection. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
I hear this.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first half of the show, it is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick's here, Barry's here. I'm here on a Tuesday in the big city. Tomorrow's a way back Wednesday. Nick and I will pick the theme. Don't worry about it.
I got corrected. The incubation period, which is ATX Hobo Girl said, that's the term you're looking for. There you go. 2 to 14 days. There you go. Okay. I saw 24 somewhere.
Wow, ATX Hobo Girl's listening?
Yeah.
What should we do? Continue with the show.
Barry, for a comedian, you take my text way too seriously. Well, then that means your text and your quote joke was bad. If I couldn't figure it out, it was bad.
Okay.
So.
What's good is the ESPN Top 100 Major League Players list came out this morning.
Oof.
Good news is for the Astros that they had 8 in the top 100. So no Gerrit Cole. I had to count, just like your military time. That's why I did that. Highest ranking Astro, Alex Bregman at 12.
Interesting.
Verlander at 14.
Okay.
Altuve at 29.
Also very interesting.
Very interesting. Springer at 37, Correa at 49, then Grinke at 59, Yordan Alvarez at 62.
Oh, and Brantley, if it had been 69, that'd have been perfect.
Brantley at 93.
No, I know you don't know the answer to this, but I'm curious if the Astros had the most of any team in the top 100.
I would guess not, and I would say Yankees or Dodgers based on Gerrit Cole switching teams, Judge, you know, you can go up and down the list, Sanchez. I would think that they've got enough guys. And the Dodgers, too, now that they have Mookie Betts, Bellinger, you know, you can Seager, you can go up and down the list there, too. Turner, I would think that they have a lot.
Okay. I looked at the list, and I'm probably, me being me, I'll probably go through and count. Just do it at breaks because I really want to know. Number one on the list, Mike Trout. Number two, Gerrit Cole. I'm good with that, I think.
I am too.
Number three, Jacob DeGrom. Number four, Christian Yelich. Number five, Mookie Betts. I think you could argue some of that. But what I looked in reverse, I started at 100 and worked my way down. And there's a lot of issues with this list, especially towards the back end of the 100. For example, the one that sticks out to me pretty glaringly is where Paul Goldschmidt was ranked. Because here's what I don't know. What was the criteria for making this list? Was it just last year's performance and whether they were healthy or not and their numbers? Is this statistically? Or is this just based off of body of work, where you think they're at now? Because, for example, I see Corey Seager at 78. I don't know. Corey Seager's a pretty damn good shortstop when he's healthy.
So it says ESPN, just so you know, polled 40 Major League Baseball writers, analysts, contributors, and insiders to determine the top 100 and rank them, voting on 200 players. For a basis of comparison for each player, we've looked at where they ranked in 2019, if they made the top 100, as well as additional information to consider. So they didn't break down the information. So I see your point.
They have Justin Turner at 68. They have Paul Goldschmidt at 64. I think there's a bigger gap between those two than that. The fact that they have...
That Goldschmidt's very underrated in terms of he hits for pop, he hits for average. He obviously was kind of in anonymity for a while in Arizona, but the Astros wanted him.
Goldschmidt year in and year out is an MVP candidate when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But he's at 64. Yordan Alvarez is at 62. How you have a DH who has 1 year in the league ahead of Paul Goldschmidt, a perennial MVP every single year, by, you know, two slots doesn't matter. The fact that that doesn't make sense to me. Last year on this list, Paul Goldschmidt was 13. You're telling me that in 1 year, Paul Goldschmidt went from one of the 10 to 13 best players in baseball to 64th?
That makes no sense. You know what that tells
this
me,
This has to be statistics.
When they start asking these people to look at these lists, too, they get so enamored with big names or people that made a jump like Jordan did in 1 year that they forget about the consistency of a guy like Goldschmidt that's done it year in, year out, different, you know, National League, you know, did it. Maybe you don't see him as much. I don't know why, but you're right. It's not fair.
They said, so did you know, question mark, for Paul Goldschmidt. In his first year with the Cardinals, he had a career low OPS and a slash line of 263, 46, 476, all full season lows for his career. Was he pressing? Was his, you know, his swing rate was 46.4%, 4 points higher than his previous career. Okay, he had one bad year. I'm not prepared to say that this dude is 64th out of 100.
Well, look, and everybody is an Astros fan.
After
we know
one
that.
Bad year.
And we know what Jordan did in the regular season. But when you think about what he did in the playoffs, it gives you more kind of a more cause for pause than it does to go full blown ahead and say he's 62nd best player in baseball.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't get it.
Because Cincinnati's got their version, that big kid that is like Jordan, too. And he had a hell of a finish to the regular season. But you don't know if he's consistently going to be doing that year in, year out, and for a full season.
Yeah. And, I mean, Corey Seager, where he is, I don't get it. You have Yoán Moncada at 87 and Joey Gallo at 85. I'm sorry. I'd take Yoán Moncada
in a heartbeat.
1,000 times out of 1,000 over Joey Gallo.
Yep.
I just, okay. It's just, there's a lot, to me, there's a lot of issues with this list, and everybody's going to see it differently. I don't know, you know, statistically, I'm not going to, it depends on the player, but a guy like Paul Goldschmidt having one bad year because he changed teams, I'm not holding that against him until it's 2, 3, 4 years in a row. So
I'm with you. So, and again, I just blame Jeff Passan then.
Is that who wrote it?
No, that's what I looked for, because they polled so many people.
Oh, but yeah,
but
for
I'm sure.
sure
Buster and Passan and their, you know, all, and Kirkjian and, I mean, it was their poll, so I would assume that their experts are going to be first in line to vote on it. A-Rod, Bascurgeon, Shambi, guys like that. So the other thing was, you know, obviously Noah Syndergaard will be on that list. Noah Syndergaard is all getting giddy on the Mets and their analytics and their technology.
He's
and
excited,
everything
huh?
that's helping him. So much so, fellas, he threw a bullpen session in just compression shorts.
Oh, I didn't need to know that.
Yeah, and they showed it as the Mets and TV was doing the game from spring training. I think it was in Clearwater. And the funniest line of all of it, I think it was Keith Hernandez was doing color on the broadcast, and they showed him, and the guys were like, "What the? What's he?" And he just, and I think it was Keith Hernandez goes, "Yeah, I'm just glad that we're getting the back end of that view. I don't think I needed the front side." And I'm like, I mean, they call the dude Thor, but we don't need that. But he had all the little gizmos and the wires on him, like, you know, to do the EA Sports video game and stuff like that. And, of course, as part of it, he said, you know, it's just great. The Mets are providing a lot of new information. They're doing a lot with technology. I think where baseball is going is access to the data and technology we have and using it, not in a cheating way. I think it's great. So he takes a little parting shot at the Strohs in the meantime. But, yeah, I mean, the New York Post even put pictures of him in his just shorts alone with the little electrodes on him throwing the session. It's like, couldn't you do that down underneath in the club, but you know, in the, on the mound in the clubhouse area?
No one needs to see that.
No one.
No one needs to see your legs and your torso in a and nothing but compression shorts. I'm a big pass on that. Thank you.
Where's Trevor Bauer on this one? Well, he's probably going to do it next.
There was an article. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but you should if you do get the opportunity. But Doug Glanville, who is an analyst for ESPN, wrote an article about PEDs versus sign stealing. And just a headline from the article, "I played clean in the steroid era, and PEDs hurt players more than sign stealing does." I found that to be interesting. So I read the article, and he basically talks about Marlon Byrd coming in and, you know, him supporting Marlon Byrd like he was supported by other players like Sean Dunstan. And at the end, Marlon Byrd gets his job. He's considered no longer considered a starter. He lost his job to him. happy for him that he had a 15-year career, but then finds out he gets popped a couple times for performance-enhancing drugs, kind of felt betrayed. And so he basically just talks about the fact that the inequities of PED make it personal. The fact that you're competing with a person one-on-one for a starting job, and if they're cheating and you're not and they get the starting job, yeah, that you're losing out to that guy who's using PEDs at the same time. Especially as you start to age, you don't have that, the, you know, the recovery opportunities to keep you healthy like these guys that are using it, that did use it. It was a fascinating take from a player who played clean, knows both sides of this story, and where he fell on
intelligent
it. And
it's a different guy,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
It was a different look at it that I found really to be very
good,
interesting.
It's a really, really good perspective to have as a guy that, you know, he gets the game. Uh-huh. But yeah, he makes that, just what you said alone there, make the valid points are there.
This last sentence, if you are clean, PEDs immediately put you on the downhill side of your career. And if you are already declining like I was in 2002, PEDs push you off a cliff. Sign stealing does none of that.
Wow.
Pretty interesting.
Very interesting.
Give it a look. It's on ESPN if you want to read it, but I found it to be a really good read.
Check there it you out. Go. All right, that's the way we'll wrap up the first half of the show. Still got 90 minutes to go. We'll get back with a whole lot more in the second half. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome into the second half of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. On a Tuesday in the big city. Nick and I will pick a Way Back Wednesday theme. You're welcome to give us suggestions. But since the Laminack family cruiser is going to be...
So I don't get to participate? Am I not a third of this show? Do I not get a vote?
I don't think you get a vote, but if you want to participate, we'll discuss it.
Why don't I get a vote? I'm still on the show. I'm not quitting the show. I'm going on vacation for 3 days. Do I not?
We've played your list when you submitted it.
Yeah, I can still do a list.
Who, me?
No.
I'm talking about when Laminack has gone out of town.
Yeah, I can still do a list. I don't mind being a part, helping out.
Maybe we mind you being a part of it.
Okay.
While you're out.
Cool.
No, I'm just trying to remember. When I'm out, I didn't do lists.
Well, because you don't care about us or the show. See. Okay. Not like I do.
All right.
I happen to care about this show and you guys and everything else. So I'm just a better person. In general. Well, whose volume's up
on the computer again?
Shut up. Somebody texted the show. When I was bitching and moaning about Paul Goldschmidt being 64th out of the top 100, mm-hmm. He said, Barry, Goldschmidt had a bad year and he's 32. Okay, well, good thing we didn't give up on Justin Verlander because he's 37 and won the Cy Young, and he had a couple of bad years in Detroit.
Fair point. Don't
give up on him just because Goldschmidt he had one down year. Verlander was 5-8 in 2015.
What was Goldschmidt's year last year? Because it wasn't bad, I don't think.
It was his worst year of his career. He had 30. He was 20th in the MVP race, if that matters, from sixth the year before.
Still,
yeah, 34 home runs. He had 33 the year before and 36 the year before that.
Okay,
he had
what he hit
97 RBIs, 83 the year before.
More RBIs,
more home runs,
on par for 30 plus bombs.
260 average, hit 290 the year before.
There's where you have the drop off.
Yep, he had 346 on base as opposed to 389 the year before. Slugged 476, so that was down from 533. So yeah, his slash line, according to the article,
still not bad year. Just down, maybe down for him, but his standards are pretty high.
Yep. He also about the same amount of at bats and plate appearances. Played in 161 games, so had 155 hits as opposed to 172. So he still the power was still there. He still drove in runs. Just wasn't as disciplined at the plate. Didn't put up prolific numbers as in the past. But again, he still has the skill set. And though he's 32, unless this is just a massive fall off in the beginning of the end, I'd still fade Paul Goldschmidt as a top 20 player in baseball.
I don't know about
baseball.
Top 20, but he's up there. He's higher than Yordan, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure.
So, I mean, that's the easiest way for me to look at it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Like I said, Verlander, you go a few years back in Detroit, 5-8. Okay. You know, he's going to have a bad year. I'm not going to worry
Brent
about it.
Brent obviously played a lot in that too, but yeah, he's obviously resurrected his career once he got here, and then he was so happy with the way everything, you know, worked out that he stayed. So the bigger problem that you got too now is when you're looking at this Astros team, you got a guy like James Click, who got in late, got way behind, didn't get a chance to address the rotation. But unlike the Yankees, you were kind of getting through spring training scot-free. Now you mentioned Verlander. I also found it very amusing that certain local sports talent said that he has some problems with his triceps. No, not plural, just one. But in the meantime, that puts the Astros in a bit of a predicament. Now, instead of being, hey, here's our new analytics-driven GM, and we can't wait for him to get started, well, you are now time to get rolling, because you got to figure out if you have enough on this roster with Josh James and Urquidy and Framber Valdez and guys like that, or you're going to have to go out and try and seek someone out. And then even more so, the big thing becomes you're loaded this year.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, after this year, Barry, I mean, and we did a video for Sports Map that should be coming out too, but almost the straw that stirs the drink in so many ways is going to be George Springer. Because he's up at the end of the year, and you think about like the 6 degrees of separation. It's not just that, you know, Springer's a hell of a player, and if he had stayed healthy last year, he might have been in that MVP conversation. But on top of that, he's best friends with Brantley. Brantley's free at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Reddick's free at the end of the year. James Click's also got to pay attention to Kyle Tucker, because Kyle Tucker right now, who was supposed to be Reddick's replacement and the heir apparent and one of their top two prospects, he has crapped the bed all spring with the exception of a three-hit game. And you better make a decision real quick on, do I continue to keep all my eggs in his basket, or do I bail before he becomes the next Derek Fisher or the next Francis Martez?
Yeah, there are some guys that are coming due and some guys that are probably close to retiring. But, you know, this is why you discuss and you talk about windows of opportunity and make it, because you can't predict what you're going to do, you know, 2 years from now or even a year from now. You just don't know.
Sure.
I mean, you know, everybody was hopeful that Gerrit Cole was going to be here. Nope. Charlie Morton left. McHugh. So it's the same as true. I think the Astros would make a priority out of all the names you mentioned. George Springer becomes their priority.
I think so, too. And I hope so, because I'm a big fan of his.
And, you know, he is a little older at 30, but I think, to me, it even comes down to, what do you feel about some of the other guys that they're still in arbitration, but you know you probably need to take care of them, right? So you're talking about guys like Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers, who those arbitration years are starting to tick down pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to start making decisions about them as well in the next 3 years or so.
Well, and the other thing, and this is why it's such a critical year, not just for Springer because it's a contract year, but if he handles all the pressure, and with A.J. Hinch not there, he is the guy. He's the straw that stirs the drink in that locker room, on that bench, as part of the whole team chemistry thing. They're going to have to be so tight this year because of what's going on with the outside distractions. And he's the guy that drives all that. And if he powers through all of this and has a great year, it tells you even more that you want him to be here. The problem is, he's got a chance to jump ship. If this is a disaster from the media standpoint, if things don't go well, and you know that it's going to be a challenge to get other guys to want to play here, because they're like, well, if I got equal offers from Houston and another team, do I really want to deal with all the cheating stuff and all the media and the booing and all that other stuff? Or do I want to go somewhere else where I just take my money, collect my check, play my game, and go home?
Their entire outfield is up.
Yep.
Plus Yuli, plus Brad Peacock.
It's going to be real interesting. That's why James Click, that's why I said,
that is,
you know, the
2021 free agents.
Your welcome and grace period's over. It's on your shoulders now, bro. You got some work to do.
Well, look, for better or for worse, Jeff Luno was riding or dying with Kyle Tucker. That's why he's still here and never got traded. So you there's one. Reddick is gone. You're not re-signing Reddick.
Yeah.
Tucker is your new right fielder. So now you talk about, what do you do in center field, left field with Brantley and with Springer? Brantley was a great value for what you were paying him, and as far as his production, but he's 34. You know, sure. Spring will be 31. You look at Yuli, that's Jordan's position. Jordan's going to have to take over at first base, I think. Does Miles Straw factor in long-term at center field? Is he a guy that you think you can count on to be a speedy guy at the top of the lineup?
Or if Yordan's your DH, then you hope Yuli wants to come back at a reasonable price because he's still hitting the ball well and he's versatile enough to play other positions.
He's also 37.
I get it.
Yeah, and he can still hit the ball, but he might be at decent value.
Here's the thing,
but
too.
Do you save money because Yordan doesn't cost you much? He's getting the rookie
raise
minimum.
Under team control.
Yeah.
Well, and from a click perspective too, you have to look at this and go, hey, look. From baseball writer's perspective, from Luno's perspective, Whitley and Tucker were your top two prospects. But a new guy with fresh eyes coming in may not see that the same way and go, hey, before the luster completely wears off these two guys, because look, the same thing can be said of Whitley. Whitley was supposed to be this surefire, power arm coming in that's going to save the day for the Astros long term and in the future. He's crapped the bed.
Well, I think Forrest Whitley's going to be on this team this year. I think he's going to be a bullpen arm that they end up moving into the rotation at some point. But I think he'll start in the bullpen. I think you can't let him sit there and flounder in the minors and not have value. You either bring him up and decide, do you have something or do you not? You pass on a lot of stuff with Forrest Whitley as your future. Well, the future is now. You need arms. Come on up, kid. Let's see what you got. Now, I think that
you
happens.
You have to know what you have, but be careful of what you have and what you want because of, like I said, the guys that I've named. For for several years in a row now, this franchise has said, this is our number one pitching prospect. This is our number one prospect from a positional player standpoint. And those guys have crapped the bed over and over. And when you've brought up a Derek Fisher, you realize he wasn't a five-tool sensation that was going to be a future All-Star. He was a platoon guy that could give you a little something speed-wise, but he never really panned out. And like I said, the biggest poster child from a pitching perspective was Francis Martez. Number one prospect in the organization, was supposed to be everything, and then injured, then PEDs. It's a bad look.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's why you hear so often us and other shows and other people around baseball talk about the fact that you'd rather have a vet than a prospect because you never know about the prospects.
It's the A.J. Hoffman train. I mean, that's the one that he was on when we go back to the whole Chris Sale, Alex Bregman
trade. You know what Alex Bregman is. You know what Chris Sale is. But would you trade, a minor leaguer, your stud number one prospect minor leaguer for Chris Sale? Yeah, of course I would. Every time.
A lot of people would disagree with that, and they did. So. Yeah. It's an interesting prospect to kick along because there's going to be some tough decisions to be made by James Click now that he's in the driver's seat for general manager of your Astros. I'll tell you where you're in the driver's seat. If you need help with anything men's health related, there's only one place to go, and that's Apollo Men's Health. They take care of you like family. And whether you need some testosterone therapy or you're looking for a little help in the bedroom, they're here to help you, and they're going to make sure that they meet your needs. If you're uncomfortable going to someplace, sitting in a waiting room, trying to get the help that you need, they're going to put you in an examination room outside from the general public so no one has to see you or know that you're there, and they're going to talk to you like a family member to get all the answers that they need so that they can help you in the best way possible. Same thing where when you walk in the door, if you're comfortable, hey, let's have some water, have some Gatorade, sit down, feel at home, and understand that their only goal in life while they're working with you is to make sure that you are taken care of and you get the results that you're after. It's Apollo Men's Health, not just another testosterone therapy clinic. In addition to traditional methods of injections that you can get, Apollo Men's Health also offers cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. It reduces your weekly visits if you've got a busy, busy schedule, but maintains your overall wellness, and you get results in a more convenient way. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy to increase your overall quality of life, and so much more. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call them today, 832-664-9966, or go to their website, apollomh.com, to book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. It's Apollo Men's Health.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special message.
Well, what's up?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force water.
I'll drink to that.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two of the show. It is the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5. You fellas, we were talking. I don't know if I need all that. By the way, Nick, during the break, a few breaks back when I was trying to fix the clock. Smarty pants over here. I'm looking at the back of the clock. There's all kinds of buttons. There's all kinds of things. Nothing's really so spelling confused. It out for me. And I'm like, there's no, you know, it says Central Time, Pacific Time, all these different levers and buttons. I'm like, is it changing? It changing? He looks at it. He goes, yeah.
He looked like an old person with a smartphone. Nice. He was just like,
I don't see the button to change it from military time to standard time. And he goes, oh, I do. Turned and kept looking at his computer. I go, really? And he goes, yeah, I mean, let me know if you find it. I mean, are you kidding me?
It wasn't bothering me.
I'm starting to think it's the dead batteries.
Is no, it
dead
it's batteries? Fixed.
No, he figured it out.
He did?
He's like, what? You see it? I was like, yeah, I see it. I'm like, you'll get it. And guess what? He got it. He's a big boy. He figured out the clock all by himself.
So my when little, we tried to adjust the time wizard. We didn't even mean to, but we put it on military time.
No, we didn't do that.
Oh, someone else did it after us because we had it right yesterday.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah, wasn't so I don't know if, like, surprise to all of us, Patrick Creighton was in the military. Damn. I don't know
where he was going with that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it got that way, but it wasn't Glenn Davis, the military guy. I don't think so. And he didn't do – I don't think he did the show last – Yeah. Did he do the show last night? Normally when I'm leaving the gym, it's on and I can remember – I can figure out real quick if we're talking about soccer or something else.
Somebody offered up rodeo as a theme for Way Back Wednesday. We already did that.
Did we?
Yeah.
A year ago?
When they announced the lineup.
First week.
Yeah, the rodeo. And then there was another theme suggestion. Way Back Wednesday, top Biggie songs in honor of 23-year anniversary of his death.
Today.
Or top songs from 97.
You know, I'm a
97 was a good year.
97 was a good year.
I think we've done 97. I wouldn't mind doing it again, but yeah.
But you can't do 24 B.I.G. songs.
No.
Right,
you could just do 97 in honor of B.I.G.
Well, I don't know. You probably could do 24 B.I.G. songs because he's been a guest in songs too. Puffy, I mean, I was driving in
Puffy, P. Diddy,
yeah, Jagged Edge, or not Jagged, 112. You got Mary J. Blige,
Bone Thugs, Notorious Thugs.
Yeah, there's probably 24 songs that we could come up with that Biggie was in.
We'll talk about it.
I'm down.
I'm down. Well, guess what? You vote yes.
I do,
and I vote yes. So guess what? That's the theme. 2-1. That's
just
how the voting
Biggie
works.
Songs?
Just songs that Biggie was in.
Oh.
Okay. That he rapped in. It could be all Biggie.
I'm a Biggie fan, but okay.
It could be all Biggie. Doesn't have to be just like, you know, like I said, 112. He was in that song.
This subject to the top of my list of what I want to get to next. What would you need to get in return if we traded Barry? Like, if we could trade Barry to an AM station or
do
anything. Nothing less than Barry Warner. Nothing less than Barry Warner.
Wait a minute.
You sure not nothing more than Barry Warner?
I will fight you. That's your value for me is Barry Warner?
We're switching a Barry for another Barry. It's
continuity of the show.
With an exception of the last name, it's pretty seamless. You're just as big. You're just as old.
Oh, wow. I want to fight you so bad right
now. Trade the Widow's Peak for chest hair?
First of all, my widow's peak is gone. Thank you very much.
Okay. That's what all right.
I will fight you for saying that the only difference between me and Barry Warner is the last name.
I'll tell you what. The fact that I mentioned him right now, he might come barging into this studio shirtless.
And I hope he shows you his belly button.
We have security somewhere in the building, right? Maybe? Man. I don't know.
When did he do that? That was like the first year.
No,
that
you
was
know what? Year one. You know what? What's the day? Oh, no, not yet. I think on like the 20-something of this month, he took the liberty of leaving me a message to tell me he's having his... like 27th back surgery.
Oh.
So I don't know.
The guy's a soldier, man.
Man.
He was still playing
hockey.
Takes
a licking and keep on ticking.
Seriously, within the last 10 years, he was still playing like in hockey leagues.
Damn. Good for him. I hope I'm not active when I'm 108.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the reason why I brought this up is because we talked about Tony Romo's deal to get 17 mil and stay with CBS. Now it appears after ESPN took a crack at getting Peyton Manning for $18 million a year, which still, I guess, isn't off the table. They're still trying to get him. It looks like they, in terms of trying to make upgrades, took a swing at trying to trade for Al Michaels from Sunday Night Football. Since he's under contract with NBC, the only way ESPN would be able to hire him is by offering NBC some sort of compensation, according to a news report from Andrew Marchand. NBC is not interested in a trade for its legendary play-by-play man. It would be kind of interesting if we said, hey, how about if we give you Scott Van Pelt and say, we'll throw in L. Duncan.
The Boogermobile.
And the Boogermobile.
Yeah, we'll throw that in. We'll throw in, a player to be named later. The good news for NBC is they're sitting on, it's almost like it's Favre and Rodgers for them. Because once Al Michaels goes, Mike Tirico takes over.
Sure, he slides in, yeah.
And they lose nothing because Mike Tirico is great at what he does.
You know the guy that's the odd man out in all that? Because of the fact that they did throw the money at Tirico and then have to find things for him to do is Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick was the guy that hosted the studio on Sunday Night Football. They moved him out. You know, they made sure that Tirico got some exposure there. Then they gave him Notre Dame football so that he had something else that he could call his own until the position opens up. So, you know, and Al Michaels getting up there too. I've heard stories about Al Michaels too. Like
75?
Yeah, and still doing it. That's pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
And he is a legend. When we talked about the fact that he was the voice of the Miracle on Ice, yeah. Do you believe in miracles? But the crazy thing is that you got broadcast entities trying to make a trade.
That is pretty crazy.
And they said that NBC fully expects that Al Michaels is going to complete his contract.
Well, the plan was to trade for Al Michaels and then pair him up with Peyton Manning. And that would be their Monday Night Football. And
That
would be a huge upgrade. And I don't even mind Joe Testore. He doesn't bother me. I didn't like Booger McFarland at all. But Joe Testore doesn't bother me as a play-by-play. Is he Al Michaels? No. Is he Jim Nance? No. Is he, you know, there's a few other guys that are really good, but he's not terrible.
You already know that he does get under my skin by using nicknames for all these players when people don't know who the hell he's talking about.
Who's the guy I like that like when there's a streaker or a cat on the field, he does the play
Kevin
by
Harlan.
Play. Yeah, why not go get him?
Because he's under contract with, I believe
is he
either Fox or CBS.
Oh man,
he's not the A team, but he's one of the teams that he does. Yeah, he does CBS.
Kevin Harlan is top three for me.
Oh my God, he's so versatile too. Because he started out as a Minnesota Timberwolves play-by-play boy. So he can do basketball, college, pro, football, radio or TV. And people don't understand that either. And I've talked to Craig about this recently and given him props. There's a huge difference between doing the play-by-play on TV and then switching over and doing radio. Because on radio, the play-by-play is the most important position because you have to paint the mental picture with your play-by-play. On TV, the analyst is the most important because you can already see what's going on. You need to know the who, where, and why. To go back and forth, you could easily get caught up in trying to describe everything on TV because you're switching mediums. But I give Craig credit for that.
If you're willing to make a trade for Al Michaels, I would almost consider trying to get him. He would be great on Monday night. I mean, you solve a big problem.
If you paired up
Harlan with Peyton Manning, Kevin Harlan with Peyton Manning on a Monday night.
Go get Michaels for ESPN.
No. Go get Kevin Harlan for ESPN. Make a trade for him.
And talented and versatile enough to do March Madness and then do the NFL for them. They're not giving him up either. There's no way. Why would I give that guy up? If we signed him to a deal, we realized and recognized his talents and got him in the fold, why am I going to give him to you guys? It makes no sense.
I mean, if they offered you a big chunk of money to do it.
When your contract's up, go get it.
Well, no, I'm saying if ESPN offered CBS money, here, we'll give you X amount.
Depends on what your bottom line
looks
like.
CBS is just stockpiling talent then because they're like, well, we got Romo. We got – at some point, it's going to get too expensive. Yeah. Can you afford all those guys?
The big thing, too, is
if you could get money for Kevin Harlan.
The key is versatility because you're paying a ton for analysts that are just sports-driven. I mean, one sport-driven. But your play-by-play guys have to be able to do multiple sports. Like Bob Costas used to be able to give you Olympics, basketball if you needed it, football if you needed it.
Harlan can do all that.
Yeah, Harlan can do that. Yeah. Jim Nance can do that. He can do football, basketball, and golf. So he gives you a ton. So you're going to have to get guys that can cross over to multiple sports to play multiple roles so that the money makes sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, and ESPN's problem is, too, they can't be throwing out too much money. They're trying to resurrect their product, but they've paid too much money for all these college networks, the SEC network, the Longhorn network. and they committed a lot of funds to those things, and that's why they've had to do all these budget cuts.
Well, they better do something, because you can't afford to start hemorrhaging viewers on Monday Night Football as much as you're paying for.
Well, you better find somebody else, because the bottom line is the number one television program in America during the football season, and actually for the whole year, is Sunday Night Football. So why would I break up either one of those guys?
I saw in this article, it says, internally, ESPN is toyed with the idea of a booth that would consist of Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Griese. No, thank you.
I'll take Louis Riddick and pass on the other two.
No, thank you.
God, that'd be awful.
They're talking about Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit. No way Herbstreit does that. Ohio State's not in the pros.
Yeah, and you know what? They found their niche. Again, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Your college teams are good on ESPN.
Yeah.
Don't mess with that.
Yep.
Go find the next Kevin Harlan.
Yeah. Go get Gus Johnson.
No, thanks.
I love Gus. The way he starts screaming.
He is exciting.
Oh, that's the
best.
But
I told you 2 years ago he was doing Bucks games.
He's a jerk, though.
But yeah, well, and he was doing Bucks games and didn't take the time to pronounce the players' names right or the sponsors.
Well, that's okay. I don't care about that. Just be exciting.
You don't think managed? Think about that. I've told you.
I don't care. As a consumer, I don't care. Just be excited.
No, if you're a Milwaukee person and you know Usinger's is a Milwaukee company for sausage, and he comes on and goes, hey, Bucks fans, next game the Usinger's booth is going to be open for some bratwurst. No, pass. They're not going to be happy with that.
That's
just
funny.
Letting you know. All right, two in the books, 1 hour to go. Final hour of the show comes up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.